This is the EWN Radio Network.
The way we like to look at it is that you've fallen over the waterfall and you've crashed into the pool below. You're still alive, but you're just trying to stay above water and not drown in the symptoms you have. And of course you want to deal with the symptoms, but what you have to do is go back upstream and find out what happened.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and it's my pleasure to be with you here on another Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Always love to join you here at the start of my weekend. I hope it's the start of your weekend. We always chat about doing something fun, and last time I mentioned that I was going to a flower show. You know, it turned out to be an orchid show mostly, and I just fell in love with those plants. I've bought 3 of them, and I'm really enjoying them, but one thing I noticed, they need real careful tending, and so we're going to talk about careful tending with our guest tonight, too, because he's all about careful tending of our body, and I know he's probably laughing at that, but I will tell him how the correlation happens. Tonight, I've got a fantastic brand new tea that has natural flavors of orange, and it's a green tea with natural flavors of orange. It's an organic tea, and like that jasmine tea I had last time, it just makes the whole room smell great. You don't want to drink it because it's just perfuming the room. I just love it. So what do you got fun planned for this weekend? I hope it's something, because I find that having fun really helps you in your healing process, because sometimes it just lifts our spirits. And our guest tonight is great at lifting spirits, too. So let me give you a quick introduction to Dr. Thomas O'Brien. He believes in making a difference in the world, one healthy human being at a time. He's internationally recognized and sought-after speaker and workshop leader who specializes in complications of non-celiac gluten sensitivity, celiac disease, and autoimmune diseases as they occur inside and outside of the intestines. Now, I always laugh at that because we'll chat with him about this idea too, because I thought that really the gut is one of the main things that we have to heal when we're healing from any autoimmune. So we'll ask him that question. But let me go on here, because this man is amazing. I first learned about Dr. O'Brien when he released his docuseries last year called Betrayal, the Autoimmune Disease Solution They're Not Telling You. It was an amazing docuseries. I actually bought a copy of it, and I re-listened to it and re-listened to it all the time, because he's considered the Sherlock Holmes of chronic disease and metabolic disorders. He is just amazing in how he breaks this down. The Autoimmune Fix is the name of his book, and both in the docuseries and the book, he breaks it down to where, you know, anybody can understand it. That's what I loved about it. It was real language. I wasn't wading through a textbook. So before I get too much further, welcome, Dr. Tom. Such a pleasure to have you on the Autoimmune Hour.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
So many questions. In reading your book, you know, I'm rereading your book, I should say. I did prepare for this because I learned so much the first couple of times I read it. I ended up with 9 pages of questions, which I know we don't have time for. So,
well, this is part one then. This will be part one.
Okay. My first thing that I know the audience and would love to know about, and I would like to know a little bit more about myself, more than you wrote about in the book, is your passion for Aikido and how you correlate that to this idea of removing resistance and redirecting energy and letting the body flow towards healing from autoimmune. I found that fascinating.
Oh, that's a really great question. Thank you. I don't think anyone's ever asked that. Well, I started taking karate when I was 12 years old. Lived in Detroit, and it was just what you did there. And the thing about karate is someone comes at you with a punch or something, you block that punch and you punch back or you kick back. So it's force against force. And that's our healthcare system today. You know, you walk in... You walk into a doctor's office and he says, well, you've got diabetes. And so that's what's coming at your body from internally is this diabetes thing. And here's the drug to get it under control. And we're going to get your blood sugar down. So it's force against force. Aikido was a martial art that when force is coming at you, what you do instead of blocking it is just kind of twist your body a little bit and let it just go right by and maybe help it along a little bit. And with that kind little gesture of helping it along, you can break somebody's elbow. And my ex-wife and I met at Aikido and we spent 23 years together, but she was 4'11" and she could take down a 6'2" guy very easily. Wow. Because it's never about power, you know. It's just get out of the way and let the energy go where it wants to go. And in healthcare, when you're dealing with something that's right in your face, there's something that's just, you know, you can't ignore it. The symptoms are here. Whatever the diagnosis is, the symptoms are here. It's in your face. It's this energy coming at you. What we all want to do is throw it away and get rid of it. And, of course, we all want to feel better, and that's normal and worthy goal. But you've got to recognize the energy that's there. What's coming at you? And I don't want to be esoteric about this, but you asked a really great question. And that is, and so in technical terms, it's you have to go upstream. Now, what does upstream mean? Well, if you've got symptoms, if you're suffering with pain or recurrent miscarriages or vision problems or high cholesterol or a stroke or, you know, whatever the symptoms are that you've got, it doesn't matter. Whatever the symptoms are, the way we like to look at it is that you've fallen over the waterfall and you've crashed into the pool below. You're still alive, but you're just trying to float. You know, you're just trying to stay above water and not drown in the symptoms you have. And of course you want to deal with the symptoms, but what you have to do is go back upstream. You have to go back up the river or up the stream and find out what happened that got you heading down the direction of going over the waterfall.
Yes.
Because if you don't go back upstream to find out what it is, and that's what Aikido is. Aikido is going upstream and looking at the energy that's coming at you. And healthcare is the same way. You have to look at the energy that's coming at you, the imbalance, the dysfunction that had to be occurring long before the symptoms developed. And unfortunately, all of our doctors go into healthcare. They go into their studies because they want to help people be healthy. They want to help people be healthy, but unfortunately, they're not trained to do that. What they're trained in is crisis care, meaning get rid of the crisis that you've gone to the doctor's office complaining about. A really good example of that is that at Stanford Medical School a few years ago, the dean of medicine, who was a professor emeritus, he'd been there for a long time, he was honored by being invited to be the commencement speaker at the medical school graduation. So this guy gets up there, and what he said was so important that it was published word for word in the New England Journal of Medicine. And so it was, I was like, wow, that's really quite an honor.
Yes.
And what he said was, we want to congratulate you. You are some of the finest trained medical physicians in the world. You know how to use the latest technology. We have the very best technology in the world in the United States, and you've been trained on the introduction to all of it. And you are some of the finest trained physicians in the world for diagnostics. However, we have to apologize to you. And he paused for a moment. There was silence. We have to apologize because we have not trained you how to successfully go into practice. 78% of what you will see in your office is chronic conditions. not acute crisis. But we've trained you on identifying acute crisis. What is this acute crisis the patient's coming in with? Well, this is type 2 diabetes, or no, this is peripheral neuropathy, or whatever it is, you have the tools to identify the acute crisis that the patient is coming in with, but we've not trained you on how, and he didn't say this, but it's like how to go upstream to figure out why does the person have this acute crisis. So we have to apologize to you for your training. You are not prepared to go into practice.
Dear.
It was unbelievable what he said, because it's the truth. It's the bottom line truth. And of course, no one wants to hear that because it rocks the whole boat of the entire healthcare system.
Absolutely.
So that's a really nice question about Aikido. And it is about going upstream, looking for the cause in healthcare.
And one of the things and in your book that I was reading that has always struck out, and as I was rereading it in the Kindle version, I noticed that I underlined it the last time I read the book, is a couple of things.
I'm sorry, you know, I'm actually thinking, oh, is there a Kindle version? Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
Yes, there's a Kindle version as well.
Great.
I'm on the road and I left my hard copy at home, and so I purchased the Kindle version.
Well, thank you for that.
Anyway, you have the statement that the symptoms are not the first manifestation of the problem. They're the last straw when your body cannot compensate further. And I think that's the next lead-in to what you were saying about Aikido and the energy, and that the doctors aren't trained in this. Because I remember from my own, and I hear this from many of my listeners, is it took me years to really get diagnosed. And it wasn't until it was a full-blown crisis of dermatomyositis, which is muscle weakness and severe skin rashes, then it was pretty obvious.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about this concept of what you talk about, body burden, because that was interesting to me. I know I didn't get here overnight, but I didn't realize that it probably took, it's been my whole lifetime that brought me here.
That's exactly right. And I don't even know where to start with that.
Oh, sorry, just choose a place. I know it's a huge question.
It's a great question. I think in terms of what people can get out of today, I did want to start with this, and I don't want to forget because I think it's so important, is that the book you refer to, my book, The Autoimmune Fix, and the Betrayal series, the docuseries that people can watch online, a premise that we operated from, it's a quote that's attributed to Einstein, and it just made so much sense, and that's the premise of the education pieces we have, the book and Betrayal, and that is everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. And so to understand what's going on in someone's body, to really get a sense of where is this coming from, first you have to ask the question. So one of the analogies I give that I think is helpful for many people is that there's two ways to measure the temperature of the engine of your car. Most cars have a hot light that comes on the dashboard. You go, oh my gosh, that big red hot light's on. I better pull over right away. And you know, you need to pull over really quick or you're going to burn up your engine.
Right.
So the car is overheating. It has symptoms. The other way of looking at the temperature in the engine of your car is that some cars have temperature gauges. And you can see that temperature gauge slowly rise. You know, in 1986, I think it was, we had a Chrysler minivan and two young kids, and we were coming back from a summer vacation in Michigan. We lived in Chicago, so we're driving back. It was August. It was a 90-90 day, 90 degrees, 90% humidity. Had the air conditioning on, driving down the highway, 70 miles an hour. Kids in the back playing with whatever they were doing. And I go, oh, no. And my wife goes, what? And I said, the engine's starting to overheat. What? I said, don't worry. The temperature gauge has just gone up past where it normally is. So it's starting to overheat. Oh my God, what do we do? It's not a problem. So I had to turn off the air conditioning, roll down the windows, listen to the kids complaining how hot it was, and drive 55 instead of 70. And we made it home okay. So I was able to listen and to what the dashboard of my car was saying. It was saying, you're overheating here. You're overheating. There's going to be a problem. And we made it home and did not get stuck in Gary, Indiana, which is where I noticed this happening, right? So, which in Chicago we affectionately refer to as the armpit of the U.S. back then. Back then, it was kind of a toxic area. It's not anymore. They've done a great job to clean it up, but steel mills were there and all that. And so, you know, it's bad air, and we're breathing this air, and it's got you feel all sticky on your skin. But that was the price of admission to get home without having a big problem. And when you start to go upstream, you have to pay the price of admission for whatever it is that you're dealing with. It doesn't matter if it's high cholesterol or headaches or chronic fatigue or Epstein-Barr or dermatomyositis or rheumatoid arthritis. It doesn't matter. You have to pay the price of admission. What does that mean? Well, who knows? We have to figure out why this is happening for you, and you have to stop doing that, whatever it is. And if you keep doing it, you can take the drugs for a while, and you'll probably keep a lid on it for a while, but it's going to get you somewhere. So, you know, try to make it as simple as possible, but not simpler. Meaning, you guys have to understand, if there's something not working right in your body, you have to pay the price of admission to change it. That may mean finding out what foods you're eating that aren't great for you, looking at the toxic air. For example, every child now that's checked, they found this out in dogs in the early 2000s, and then the technology improved so they could check children. Every dog in Mexico City has Alzheimer's, every dog. And now they've found every child in Mexico City has early Alzheimer's. They all have the beta amyloid plaque in their brain.
Oh, my. And that's from the severe air pollution?
That's exactly right. The air pollution is so bad. And just 3 weekends ago, Dr. Dale Bredesen, who runs the Buck Institute at UCLA, that's the Alzheimer's Research Center, he had his first weekend conference for doctors showing how he reverses Alzheimer's. He published a paper in 2004 reversing Alzheimer's in 9 out of 10 people. It took 5 years, but completely reversing it at UCLA. And now, you know, this is a few years later, now he has over 100 people. So the weekend conference was, how do you have to think about this, doctors? How do you have to look at this? And then what do you do? Well, there's a 37-point checklist. Do they have lack of sleep, quality sleep? Do they have elevated homocysteine? Do they have high cholesterol? Do they get exercise? Do they eat wheat? Do they eat dairy? And you just have to go down the list and find out which one of the 37 things they're doing and say, yep, they got that one, they got that one, they got that one, they got that one, and then you fix it. And that's the price of admission for Alzheimer's.
That list, though, to me, is a lot of things that I as an individual could do, because I'm thinking when I go to a doctor's, over these couple of years that I've been continuing to thrive and get healthier from my first diagnosis, I've been going to doctors for several years before that with symptoms, but unbeknownst to me, I didn't know where it was leading. I just thought it was an individual symptom.
Yes.
You know, I didn't put them all together as a puzzle. So finding out lists like this would be good for us individuals so we could take to the doctor and check it off for them.
That's exactly right. The problem is your doctors aren't trained on going upstream. That's called functional medicine. They're not trained. They're trained in acute crisis care. So you go in with your symptoms, and they kept trying to help you feel better.
With that one symptom, or they might remember the symptom I was there 6 months ago with, and that may or may still not be a symptom, or it can be very frustrating when you're trying to self-diagnose when you intuitively know, something's not right.
That's exactly right, and it's not their fault. They went into healthcare with big-eyed visions of what they wanted to do, you know, and help people be healthier and help humanity. And it's, you know, and all doctors do have that desire and that goal, but they're trained in a system that gets them thinking a certain particular way, and then they're stuck. And, you know, the result of that system, here's the result. For the fifth consecutive time, the United States has been ranked number one in health technology in the world. Number one. Out of 57 industrialized countries, and we're ranked in the bottom five in healthcare results.
Oh, wow.
For the fifth consecutive time. Do you get the message, everyone? The way that we think about healthcare is wrong. That we've got the best technology. U.S. is ranked number one in health technology by the World Health Organization and the Commonwealth Fund, number one, 5 years in a row, and somewhere second from the bottom, third from the bottom, fourth from the bottom, out of 57 industrialized countries, 5 years in a row. the way that we look at our health to get rid of the symptoms, we wait for the hot light on the dashboard, and then we try to get the hot light off. It's like pulling the car over, turning the car off, getting under the dashboard, finding the wire to the hot light, cut the wire, start the car, see the hot light's not anymore, and then drive away thinking everything's fine. That's our healthcare system.
It is, absolutely. And I've gone through multiple doctors, fired multiple doctors. But I found as the person seeking the change, I have to come together and take on my responsibility. This is my health, and I need to guide them, help them. They can't be expected to remember. They see multiple people with multiple problems. I have to go in and guide them each time. This is what we're working towards. This is what we're working on. And one of the things that you talk about a lot are the different blood tests and types of markers to look for. And I love that in your book, because oftentimes I can take them. And I know sometimes you'll get a doctor that thinks you have a hypochondriac, but you want to look for the doctor who's like, okay, these are what's going on, and this is what I've read. I would like to get these blood tests to find out, are those markers there? Because in your book, you mentioned how these markers are early warning signs. It's the flashing light before we have to get under the hood.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you say that so well, and that brings up something I haven't thought about in a long time, but I recommend to all my patients, and that is you get copies of every test that's done, every record that's done. You get a folder, and you bring that folder with you when you go to your doctor. You keep a folder for your children, every test that's ever done, because maybe now it won't make a difference, but 15 years from now, the technology will be such that if they have your history, your specific history, if you've got the records for all this stuff, it'll be obvious what's going on for you.
Absolutely.
So everyone should maintain their own health records of what's going on in their body, what tests are done for them. And yes, on these tests are called functional tests. When you go into a doctor for a physical and your doctor does a blood test, it's called a CBC and a chem screen, usually with a differential. And that means red blood cells, white blood cells, the type of white blood cells. They look at liver enzymes and kidney enzymes and cholesterol and sodium levels and calcium levels and magnesium levels. That test is 40 years old. And that's the test that everyone gets when they go in for a physical to see if they're healthy. So you are being evaluated. Your level of health is being evaluated the way that it was 40 years ago. Now, I'm going to give you one example of this. Everyone's been trained. They don't know, but this is how they think. Everyone's been trained that to check for a risk of cardiovascular disease, what you do is a cholesterol, and you look at the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol. And if your cholesterol number is good and the bad cholesterol is not too bad, then you're safe. Well, wait a minute. Okay, that makes sense, but wait a minute. But the studies are very clear that show that 50% of the people who die from a first heart attack don't have high cholesterol.
Amazing.
50% of them. But wait a minute, their cholesterol was fine. What did they die from? They died from other risk factors, not high cholesterol. Well, why didn't my doctor check that? Because your insurance won't pay for it. Why won't they pay for it? Because it's a business. And there are tests now that are not expensive. You can get a test done. It's called a lipid subfractionation that most laboratories will do now. And the doctor's office can do it. They bill insurance, and the patient pays like a $60 copay for this test. And there's good cholesterol. There's different types of good cholesterol. HDL is the good cholesterol. There's HDL2s, HDL3s. HDL3s are called the good guys. They they act like scrub brushes to clean your pipes. HDL2 are hitchhikers along for the ride. And even a couple of papers have shown that HDL2s can increase atherosclerosis, hardening of your arteries. But wait a minute, they're HDLs. They're the good guys. Well, read the papers. It's not as simple as we thought it was 40 years ago. So you find out what kind of HDLs you have, not just your total number, but you have to look at what type you have. Because if you have too many of the hitchhikers and not enough of the scrub brushes, you don't have the protection that the 40-year-old test would suggest that you have. And in the, quote, bad cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol, do you think that our body makes bad cholesterol?
It's there for a reason, is that what I always say?
Exactly.
Whether it's the right reason or not, that's a different question.
Oh, no, it is there for a reason. For example, with the LDL, what we consider the bad cholesterol, it's not bad cholesterol. You think the body would make so much bad cholesterol? LDL is the raw material that your hormones are made from.
Amazing.
Estrogen, all three estrogens, progesterone, testosterone, insulin, melatonin, serotonin, all of these chemicals, all of these hormones that are so important in our body, the raw material is LDL cholesterol, your stress hormones. The reason for the vast majority of elevated LDL levels in our culture today is because you're making a lot of stress hormone. It's because of the amount of stress we're living under. That's the primary reason. And so the drug of choice to nip the symptom in the bud of high cholesterol is to take a drug that shuts your liver down from making cholesterol. Well, but if you go upstream, the question is, why is my liver making so much cholesterol? And when you learn why, then you don't take the drug that's got the side effects down the road and reduces your cholesterol, the LDL, so much.
Right.
So I'm not saying that having elevated LDL is great for you. And if you need to take the medications, that's fine. But you have to ask, why is it elevated? And in terms of the LDL, there's different types of LDLs. There are the large, buoyant LDLs. And the analogy I give is tumbleweeds blowing across the plains. You know, if one blows up against you, it's no big deal at all. And the other LDL is the small, dense LDLs. And I look at those like octopus tentacles. They stick on the inside of your blood vessels. So the force of them going by just breaks them off. But the suction cups stick on the inside of your blood vessel walls.
What a visual.
And the result is that your immune system attacks those suction cups, and they form what's called foam cells. And foam cells start the whole process of plugging up your pipes. So the question is, where does the small, dense LDLs come from? And what is it that's triggering the immune system to attack these suction cups? And the answer for the vast majority of people when you go upstream is inflammation.
Right.
So where is the inflammation coming from? That's why you see the studies when people change their eating style, their cholesterol levels go down. When people avoid the foods that they're sensitive to that cause inflammation, one of the benefits is their cholesterol might go down. When people start meditating, their cholesterol goes down. When people do vegetarian and stop eating so much red meat, or their cholesterol goes down. So the mechanism is not that everyone needs to be vegetarian or that everyone needs to do any one particular thing. But what everyone does need to do is go upstream and ask the question, where is the inflammation coming from? And when you look at where the inflammation is coming from, then the price of admission is stop throwing gasoline on the fire.
Absolutely.
Stop doing the thing that's causing the inflammation. And notice in a few months, not only do you feel better, but your blood tests say you're doing better also. So that's just one example. And we could do the same type of examples with brain dysfunction, whether it's depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar, Alzheimer's. As I mentioned, Dr. Bredesen is reversing Alzheimer's, completely reversing it. And this is at UCLA, and they're publishing on this, the science behind how they're doing it. You just can't argue with it when you see it, but it's a tremendous amount of work. And, you know, he started off the weekend by saying this, and this was so great. He said, everybody knows someone that had a heart attack and now is thriving. No one knows anyone diagnosed with Alzheimer's who now is thriving.
Right.
There was silence in the room because we've always accepted that it's a death sentence. And it's not. But you have to stop throwing gasoline on the fire. You've just been doing it. Nobody gets Alzheimer's in their 60s or 70s. You get Alzheimer's in your 20s or 30s. Or children in Mexico, they're getting it at 5 and 6 and 7. They've got beta amyloid plaque in their brain already. And it's decades long. Scientists have known for years that it's a decades long process. There was an article in, I think it was 1992, the cover of Newsweek magazine, was reversing brain function. I think so. And there was a picture of a brain on there. And I used to talk about that. Notice they didn't say getting by on what you've got left of your brain.
Right.
They said reversing brain dysfunction. And they say in there, scientists have known that Alzheimer's is a decades-long process with many steps along the way. Well, we now have the technology to identify what's throwing gasoline on the fire causing the brain deterioration.
Absolutely.
And when you identify the mechanisms, and it doesn't matter if it's Alzheimer's or dermatomyositis or rheumatoid arthritis or multiple sclerosis, it doesn't matter. The mechanism, the underlying mechanism is what we have to understand, and your doctors are not trained on that. That's what the book, The Autoimmune Fix, is about. It's made as simple as possible, but not simpler. So that, you know, it takes some doing to read the book. I mean, you don't go through that book in a night. I mean, you go through maybe two pages. You say, well, that's enough. I need to think about that for a little bit. Right?
Well, actually, I love reading it. And I could definitely, I was reading much more than two pages at a time because everything was resonating with me. And so I was like, yes, yes. And I just kept writing more notes.
Thank you.
We need to take a quick commercial break, Dr. Tom. This has just been amazing. My jaw has been on the floor the whole time. So we need to take a quick commercial break, guys. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. And we'll be talking, when Dr. Tom comes back, about this whole idea of heal and repair. So we've figured out how to help get diagnosed, and that, you know, this has been a long road to get us here, but we'll talk about there is hope. So he's going to share with us about this concept of heal and repair. And even he talks in his book about how within 24 hours you can begin to balance your gut microbiome. So I'm going to get him to answer all those questions. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and you're listening to the Autoimmune Hour. And tonight, we have the amazing guest, Dr. Tom O'Brien, and he's the author of The Autoimmune Fix. Gee, why do we have him on here? Because that is an amazing title, and the book is even better than the title. And he is also the producer of the docuseries, Betrayal, The Autoimmune Disease Solution They're Not Telling You. That is also an amazing thing. We'll have him share more about that, too. He's been sharing with us amazing information about, you just didn't wake up with this, and some of the things that we can do to talk to our doctors. But now I want to get into that part of his book where he talks about you can heal and repair, because yes, I totally agree. I just didn't wake up one morning with dermatomyositis. As you guys know, that's my autoimmune label. However, one of the quotes he has in the book that I want to ask him about, because I'm wondering if his thoughts have changed on that, and I love this, is you can't make lemonade out of prunes. Now, Dr. Tom, I remember that. I just loved it. But it sounds like maybe they're finding ways to make lemonade out of prunes now, especially with this Alzheimer's findings.
Well, you know, prune juice is meant to help with constipation.
You know, so, it helps you heal either way, right?
That's right. I remember when we came up with that, the day we came up with that. You can't make lemonade out of prunes. That's got to go in the book.
It was so great. I just constantly remember that one. It does sound like, well, you know, either way, whether you got prune juice or you got lemonade, our bodies are built to heal and repair. You make that very clear in the book.
Well, yes. Our bodies are designed. Your body always wants to be healthy and vibrant. It always does. But we develop these emergency breaks. You ever back out of the driveway and you say, oh, what's wrong? You know, and you're moving back. You say, well, how come the car's not working very well? Oh, wait a minute. The emergency brake's on. So most of us are driving through life with an emergency brake on our health. And we don't know what it is that's holding us back from being healthier, holding us back from having the vibrant, dynamic health that our body's designed to have, and to healing as quickly as we possibly can from the injuries we get, you know, the scrapes and the skin stuff, and, you know, you fall down, you scrape your skin, you know, how quickly does it heal? I mean, we all get this stuff, but there's emergency breaks that hold us back from really being vibrant and dynamic. And the big kahuna category of emergency breaks is inflammation.
Yes.
That's the big kahuna. And what does that mean? Well, every degenerative disease, as far as I know, every degenerative disease, meaning not a trauma that you like fell down or you were in a car accident, but when a disease develops over time, that means the tissue's degenerating. Every degenerative disease at the cellular level is a disease of inflammation. It just depends. Is it a brain cell or a kidney cell? Is it gasoline or kerosene? But it's always inflammation. 98% of everyone, if they think this way, and then you ask the question, how am I throwing gasoline on the fire? And you start exploring in your life, is it air pollution? Is it food sensitivities? Is it toxic chemical accumulation? I mean, how many people you know whose lives have been saved by wearing fire-retardant clothing? Mm. You know, really? I know. It's like, oh, my God, he's talking about not wearing flame-retardant clothing. But wait, what about this infant? Well, how many infants have you heard have been saved in a fire by wearing flame-retardant clothing?
Right. Isn't that study showing that those chemicals can be absorbed through the skin?
That's exactly right. And it's another piece of the puzzle of the toxic burden that our bodies are trying to deal with every day. The bottom line is it's the environmental toxins. Now, I don't just mean the trees and the environment. I mean the food you put in your mouth, the air that you're breathing, the water you're drinking, the clothes you wear, the formaldehyde that comes out of the press board of the kitchen cabinets, or the persistent organic pollutants that are in the cleaning chemicals that you use in your house. Do you know what the most toxic contributor to indoor air quality is in most houses? The dishwasher.
The dishwasher. The thing that I think I'm doing good by sanitizing everything.
Exactly, because you put these toxic chemicals, the dishwasher fluid, the liquids we use or the little pads that you throw in there. And then we have scalding hot water producing this steam that leaks out because that's not an airtight container. And it's in the air. And you breathe it, it's in the air. Really toxic stuff that we're inhaling all the time. Now, you want to know how clean your air is where you live, wherever it is you live? Take your car to the car wash. Go to a nice car wash. Where, you know, there's guys with the Windex bottles on their hip, and they pull that bottle, they squeeze your windows, you know, and they're wiping them down and all that. And, you know, get your car spick and span, clean. Park your car outside after that for 6 hours. Go outside and rub your hand on the windshield. That's what you're breathing all day, every day, is that particulate matter that's in the air.
And that's not all just pollen, because I know a lot of family members always, oh, it's pollen on the car. No, that's not just pollen.
No, go park in the center of a parking lot in the middle of the city, you know, or wherever you live. And pollen is just another contributor. It's mercury, it's lead, it's other heavy metals, it's these persistent organic pollutants that are in the air that we're breathing all the time. that's just another, it's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. I'm curious, though, because it is overwhelming. I'm thinking, well, what do I do? I mean, I can't even become a hermit in my home because my dishwasher's going to
exactly
kill
well,
me. Well, so you know, what do we do?
My book is full of the what to do's. For example, why do you leave your shoes at the door? Why do I recommend leaving your shoes at the door? Well, it's not some Zen Buddhist thing and chant Om every day, but rather you walked home, you know, or you walked on the sidewalk coming up to the house. Your neighbor sprayed the sidewalk with Roundup yesterday to kill the dandelions. Now that toxic chemical glyphosate that's in Roundup is on the bottom of your shoes. Now you walk in your house and you walk on the carpet. Roundup is now on your carpet. Now your teenage kids that are laying on the carpet in the living room doing their homework in their computers are getting Roundup on their skin. Or your baby that's crawling on the floor gets Roundup on their skin. Now it's in their bodies. You leave your shoes at the door to leave the toxic world outside.
Mm-hmm.
You get the best air filtration system you can in your home. If you can't afford an all-home system, you keep it in the bedroom because you spend a third to a quarter of your life in that room when you're sleeping. So breathe the best, purest air you can, at least some of the time. And, write your congressman, get the air cleaned. We have to wake up. Listen, we don't have time anymore. We don't have time. You guys all have to get educated on this. The World Wildlife Fund published a paper about 4 months ago now with two major universities, and they showed that the average is a 57% loss of all wildlife on the planet since 1970.
Wow.
That's the average. Now, I read that when I was flying on a plane. I was flying home from Austin, lecturing in Austin, and I was reading the newspaper. I said, oh, that's too bad, and I turned the page. I said, wow, that's too bad. Turned the page and went on to the next thing. I get home, you know, I land in the airport, I get in the car, I'm driving on the highway to go home. I almost hit the brakes. I'm like, wait a minute. We've wiped out more than half of everything that lives on the planet in 47 years?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Half of the butterflies? Yes. Half of the red robins? Yes. Half the woodpeckers? Yes. Half the polar bears? Yes. Half the rainbow trout? Yes. Every wildlife that lives on the planet. The average is 57%, and those percentages are higher around freshwater species. Why?
Freshwater's not fresh.
Because they're drinking the water. That's right. They're drinking the water out of the streams and the lakes. And if you drank the water out of the local river or the local stream, right out of the stream, you'd get cancer earlier. You would be unable to reproduce earlier, just like the animals. But we filter our water, so we're getting minute doses of all these toxins accumulating in our body instead of the higher doses that the animals are getting. But we're killing off everything that lives on the planet. Wake up, people. Wake up. There's no way to be nice around this. Wake up. Because it's your family, your health, your children, your grandchildren. If you read what the scientists are saying, and these are the geeks, and they don't know how to, you know, I'm half Italian, so I can get animated, and I don't care anymore. You know, I'll just give it to you straight. Wake up, because what's happening is we're killing off the planet, and the disease that you currently are suffering with, wherever the weak link is in your chain, you pull it, a chain that breaks at the weakest link. It's at one end, the middle, the other end, your heart, your brain, your liver, your kidneys, wherever your weak link is, no matter what link, whether it's dermatomyositis, or Alzheimer's, or MS, or recurrent miscarriages, or high estrogen, or low testosterone. It doesn't matter. The mechanism is the same for most of them, and that's an inflammatory process. And the inflammatory process is occurring because of the excessive amount of chemicals and toxins that we are exposed to today like never before in the history of humanity.
Wow. Now,
this is a wake up. I mean, everyone needs to read my book. Excuse me. This is not for sales. Everyone needs to read the book to save the planet so that you guys wake up and understand this. And this becomes a part of your daily conversation and the way you think. It's the price of admission. You want health. You need to understand what's holding back your health, where the emergency brake is coming from.
Absolutely. And I love your book because not only do you wake us up, you give us some protocols to begin to do the process besides getting rid of the understanding heavy metals and the home toxins, environmental toxins, water, etc. talk a little bit in the short time we have remaining on two things. First, on that beginning of your protocol, because we haven't touched on diet, I know that this part is going to sound like sort of old news to some people, because when you talk about getting rid of the glutens, the sugars, and the dairies, and understanding food sensitivities, but I'd love your take a little bit more on that, as well as then, and just in the last couple of minutes we have remaining, I absolutely share your URL and how people can get your book and find out about the docuseries Betrayal, because both of them are just packed
with great
information.
Yeah, you know, for 40 years now, there have been case studies coming about it. When people go wheat-free and gluten-free, their arthritis goes away, their dermatomyositis goes away, their myopathies go away, their migraines go away, their recurrent miscarriages go away. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of case studies out there. So why is that? It's because wheat is inflammatory to everyone. Every human, Harvard's published the studies on that. I talk about them in the book. Every human has a problem with wheat. Whether they feel the problem or not doesn't matter. It's doing its damage inside of you. So that's one thing. But every forkful of what you put in your mouth, every single forkful is inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. There's no neutrals except healthy water. That's the only neutral. Everything else is going to cause more inflammation or contribute to reducing the inflammation. Turn the genes on to reduce inflammation, or turn genes on to cause inflammation. Everything that you put in your mouth. So we have to start understanding, well, I can have a little once in a while. Well, no, you can't. You know,
because and that is so true. But, you know, a little hot side note, it's so hard because I have family members who don't understand the lifestyle I've chosen. I know you don't like the word diet. I don't either after reading your explanation why. But and I always get the, well, it's just a cookie, or it's grandma's birthday, or it's, and
right.
It's tough.
Right, right. Agreed. It is tough. That's why you need to be educated. When you are educated, when you understand, so between the autoimmune fix and the betrayal series, that will give you a baseline and you will live out of an OMG.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That was always out of my mouth.
Yes.
As reading
exactly.
Your book.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God, I had no idea. Because there's hundreds of studies there to validate what I'm telling you. You know, pick any topic in the book. You know, I'll go at it with you with any topic, because it's not my ideas. It's what the scientists are saying. I'm just the geek that reads the science. You know, so
I'm going to share one, oh my God, okay? And that's
sure. That
I had no idea that excess fat around the middle was a sure sign of inflammation. I had
yes.
no idea.
Yeah. How many of you are carrying a spare tire around your midsection? That type of fat produces 17 hormones. It's a different fat than anywhere else in your body. 17 hormones, 15 of those hormones are inflammatory. And the inflammatory hormones get produced when you're carrying an extra spare tire. When you have not much of that fat, then the majority of the hormones produced are the anti-inflammatory hormones. So some of you are carrying a Volkswagen spare tire. Some of you are carrying Peterbilt trucks around your midsection, right? And, you know, you just got to know that means 24/7, 24 hours a day, every day, you're throwing gasoline on the fire. And it takes a whole lot of anti-inflammatory to address that and try to get you stable again. So part of the process is not losing weight. You don't want to lose weight. You want to lose fat. And when you lose the excess fat, just by living a cleaner lifestyle, it starts coming off. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people, you know, talk about, you know, I didn't count calories. I just changed my selection of foods and my weight, my belt was a notch tighter within a few weeks. And it was a second notch tighter within 2 months. And now 4 months later, I'm 3 notches tighter in my belt and my weight's only gone down 2 pounds. You know, you hear that kind of, or your dress size goes down. You hear that kind of testimonial again and again and again. You don't have to be counting calories. Now, some people are packing 400 pounds. That's a different story, you know. But when you're packing an extra 20 to 50 pounds, you don't have to be counting calories. You have to be counting inflammatory foods and get them out of there. Stop throwing gasoline on the fire. And you'll be really happy with the results. So let me just say that the autoimmune fix, you can get it on Amazon. But if you go to my website is thedr.com, the doctor, thedr.com. Just don't spell the word doctor out, thedr.com. And if you order the book through the website, the link just takes you to Amazon, but you get some handouts that you can download on our site for free as a result of ordering it at Amazon through our site. So you go there, thedr.com, order the book. I promise you'll be happy you did. And Betrayal Series, S-E-R-I-E-S, BetrayalSeries.com, so that you can watch the series, the 9-part series. I interviewed 85 of the world experts. We went to Germany. We went to Portugal. We went to Spain. We went to England. We went to Ireland, the U.S., and I interviewed these experts about why people get sick, the geeks that write the research papers. I interviewed them. And then I interviewed the doctors, the clinicians who were using that knowledge and that science. And then I interviewed the patients who go see those doctors who reversed their rheumatoid arthritis or reversed their MS. And when you hear this lovely, gosh, I get tears in my eyes, this lovely 40-something woman with a 16-year-old boy who could hardly walk because of MS, and she says, and she applied these principles, and she says, you know, I took the train to come here to this hotel today for the interview. And it's 7 blocks from the train station to the hotel, and I could walk it. And she said, it's not a big deal.
But it is a big deal.
And then she got tears in her eyes, and she said, but it is. That's what you can expect. Is when you dial this down, when you understand the big kahuna picture of what the emergency brakes are that are holding your body back, and you start implementing the lifestyle, you will see the changes. And I'll give you one last thought. In the Museum of Science in Florence, there's this display. It's a circular marble stand, and inside the glass dome on top of the stand is Galileo's finger.
Really?
It's his finger.
Okay.
And if you go to Amazon, order the book, Galileo's Finger, you can read about it. But he said, all of my inventions can be on display for all of humanity forever, as long as you also display my finger. And so I put that picture up in my slides to when I talk to the general public. I said, just one thing. And if you remember this picture, one thing, 1 hour a week. You put 1 hour a week into learning more about this whole inflammation environment concept. 1 hour a week. In 6 months, you've spent 25 hours at this, and you've got it down. Are you willing to spend 1 hour a week for 6 months to learn this, knowing this is going to affect the rest of your life? And if you're willing at 1 hour a week, because you can't change your lifestyle right away unless you're really sick, you're diagnosed with autoimmune disease, you don't have a choice. But for the rest of us, people aren't going to make big changes. But if you allocate 1 hour a week and understand, oh, this thing about shoes. Oh, good. Honey, take your shoes off at the door from now on. Let's try it and see. And let's have slippers at the door. You know, or something. You just stop using plastic lids. You know, stop ordering your coffee from the coffee shop and put a plastic lid on it, because the chemicals in the plastic lid leach into the coffee and they get in your body. They're called bisphenol A, and they bind on your estrogen receptors and they cause tons of hormone problems for you in your brain and in the rest of your body from the coffee lids.
Wow.
When you learn these kind of things and you do 1 hour a week to learn this, in 6 months, you're a different person. And you've taken the time to not be fanatical, but just to kind of wrestle with these concepts, and you will win the ball game. You and your family will not be the average statistic in America today. You will be different at 1 hour a week.
Oh my goodness. We're going to have you back, Dr. Tom. Like I said, this whole hour, my jaw has been on the floor. As you've heard, all that comes out is wow. So everyone, we need to let Dr. Tom go right now because we're up against our hour, but this has just been fantastic. I know all of you out there are equally amazed. Dr. Tom, thank you so much for sharing with us all your wisdom and knowledge. Everyone, it's his website is the DR, so it's like the doctor, but the abbreviation, thedr.com. Be sure and go there, because it too, just like Dr. Tom, is an amazing wealth of information. Thank you so much. Got to come back, sir.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure being with you, and I would look forward to that.
Everyone, go have a great week, whatever your adventures. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.